70. The following program is sponsored and paid for by Battleground News, LLC. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time for Battleground News. To join the battle, call 904-831-0600. And now, here are Karen Morton and Jim Davis.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Battleground News. This is, are we on?
Yes, we are, young lady.
Hey, I can't hear me. Okay.
Turn up the headphones.
Well,
oh, there we go.
They're up. Okay. This is Karen Morton. I'm your host of Battleground News. Your co-host
is Jim Davis.
There we go, Jim Davis. We've got a pretty packed show today. In the studio with us is Ray Morton. Ray's
president accountant.
All righty. A-team member extraordinaire. And also with us, a regular contributor, actually, Rod Sullivan is with us in the studio.
Hey, Karen. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Good to have you here. And on the guest line, we've got a very important guy. We want to talk with him before he has to go on to his next meeting. But I know everybody in this town, everybody in Northeast Florida is familiar with the term JEA. And
Boo.
And all the sales talks that are going on, all the shenanigans that are being pulled, all of the latest thing is a JEA letter. And on the line with us today is Councilman Matt Carlucci. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen. If I'd known Rod Sullivan was going to be on there, that's enough brain power to just, you know, brush me aside. So, but I'll do the best I can. So,
well,
but it's good. It's good to hear Rod. He's a great contributor to the discussions that go on in Jacksonville and high places. And he's a neighbor and a good guy. And you've always been so kind to me. So, anything I can help contribute to the good of the cause, I will do my best.
Thank you, Matt.
Isn't that wonderful? I love this guy. All right, so we're going to be talking about JEA, and Matt, among other things, there was a letter that was distributed apparently with the bills this just in the last few days, basically telling people that if they don't buckle down and agree to do what JEA thinks is right, they're going to raise the rates by 52%, cut employees, and drastically reduce service.
Right.
What really?
Well, this is what makes it difficult because the mixed messages. So yeah, my wife opens up the JEA bill. This is the second insert that's gone into a JEA bill, and talking about and parading all the horribles, and you know, it's just I don't think that's the place. An insert is the place to be promoting privatization of the utility.
Right.
I don't tweet much, but I do have a Twitter account, and I never use my account to say anything negative or personal about other people. I don't believe in that. I don't like it. I'm over it. I'm tired of it. And we all need to, but I don't have a problem in putting out what I believe are observations that people should know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, I guess a month ago, got the first insert. You know, they're in a death spiral. They're going over the cliff. Rate increases, cutting, laying off people, blah, blah, blah. And then just a week before, I had a quote from the CEO, Mr. Zahn, saying that the JEA had never been more financially stable or operationally stable.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like people need to know that there's two things being said, and as we go through this process of trying to figure out, you know, what's what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you, the JEA, and I'll be the first to step up and say this, the JEA has some headwinds. They do have some challenges ahead of them. Guess what? every business has had challenges in front of them.
Yes.
My business included. And we went through a very, very difficult time in 2009 with headwinds. But we
almost, Matt, almost every business went through headwinds during that time.
Listen, some people went through it a lot worse than I did. They were contractors, realtors, but mine did go through a very tough time. We had to spend some money to diversify, and we took some chances that we felt would work. And my dear old dad always said, make sure you have plenty of money in savings for a rainy day. And that rainy day came, and we executed a business plan for an independent insurance agency. I didn't own it. I can't. I'm contracted only to State Farm, but I can help my boys with it. And so my wife had to go get an insurance license because she was the owner. State Farm knew all of this. Everything was above board. And so long story short, we hunkered down. It was a tough 3 or 4 years, but we made it. And this is not the first time the JEA has faced headwinds. And all of these constitutional issues and in bars that have to be cleared and that seem to be impossible. When you talk to the CEO of other publicly owned municipalities in Florida, they tell you it's not that difficult, and they are facing the headwinds, and they're thriving. And the trend countrywide is for municipalities to buy back private utilities that they sold, and boy, they're paying a fortune for it.
Yeah.
But they're doing it because they want to own, and they want the ratepayer to be the owner of our electrical, our energy resources, as well as our water, and also our sewer treatment.
Right.
Matt, I have just a couple of questions, if I can.
Yes, sir.
Has JEA released to the public a detailed accounting of their books? I mean, I want to, if they're in such bad shape, if they have such problems, so many problems,
prove it.
The citizens of Jacksonville have the right to see this because we are part owners of that organization. The other thing is, if the leaders of our JEA cannot make this work, then we should consider getting rid of them and bringing in somebody who can. And that's just the bottom line in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. And Matt, what isn't all of that stuff filed with the Public Utilities Commission?
I would think so. I do know the council auditor has done several reports, and I think they're finishing up one now on the financial condition of the JEA. And I just have to tell you, there's no other more sound, more solid source of information on our finances, city finances, with great integrity of the City Council Auditor's Office, because they're independent. They don't take sides. They don't try to make policy. They just crunch numbers and tell you the facts.
Okay.
Sir, would you be willing in City Council to push to make that public?
Oh, it'll all be public. The council auditors will send one to every member of the council. And I'm not sure when that comes out, but I would say fairly soon. And I think that might be part of the Michael Boylan task force. But they do have there are some older JEA evaluations, 2, 3, 4 years older, by the council auditor's office, and they make a very strong case for the soundness of the JEA. So
gotcha.
JEA is not in a death spiral.
Absolutely.
But do they have some headwinds? Yeah, they do. And that's why you have to hire the best CEO possible, and you have to maybe use some reserve money in order to find different markets that you can spread and create additional gross receipts.
Okay. Matt Carlucci, it's Matt Carlucci with us today. And Matt, we're running out of time here, but thank you so much.
The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. Well, some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
It's not easy making a job change, but great opportunities only come around so often. And American Electrical wants to strike a deal with you that will ignite your career like you're a first-round draft pick. American Electrical is looking for the best electricians in Jacksonville, and they'll make sure you're rewarded for the work you do. A benefits package that's second to none, including 4% matching 401k. And once you're there for 3 years, you can start planning 3 weeks of vacation. Call 737-7770 or stop by their offices on St. Augustine Road. American Electrical.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new product from MyPillow. Just like all of you out there, I had problems with bath towels. They just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, I found out that around 2006, towels changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they didn't work. Well, I found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology so that I was able to create towels that feel soft but actually work. They're all made with USA cotton, and they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee.
For a limited time, go to MyPillow.com, and when you buy a six-piece towel set, Mike will give you 30% off when you use promo code WBOB. Or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Battleground News. I want to thank Councilman Matt Carlucci for joining us for the first quarter of the hour. Good information, and I think you know, Matt has had an excellent point. It's you know, there are bumps in the road, but everybody else is experiencing these as well, and we're not having these kinds of problems. We've got people in JEA that are hell bent on making a sale come hell or high water, as far as from what I can tell. And it's causing a lot of issues. I noticed that I saw some report where JEA in just the last few months had spent close to $200,000 in PR just about the sale of the organization.
Seems like that money would have been better trying to save the company if it was going bad.
Yeah, you would think. You know, if we're really in those kind of dire straits, we're going to throw away $200,000 to send out stupid letters to people to scare the heck out of them. You know, at politicking on the taxpayer's dime. I just see a lot of problems with this. Now, we were sitting here in the studio, and we've got monitors on with some of the local news stations on, and I noticed that somebody had put up that they think the JEA sales talks are going to stop. And I don't have the information on that. We've been sitting here in the studio for the last half hour, and so we don't have that. But it'll be interesting to see if that's what happens.
Apparently, they're on hold.
Are they on hold?
They're on hold because of some ethics questions.
Yes, yes, some ethics questions. Yeah, gosh, OG.
I've got some questions myself.
We've been hollering about those ethics questions for a couple, 3-4 months now. And I know that several members of the council have been very active in doing that. And we've got the Jacksonville Civic Council, who have come out and said publicly, wait a minute, you know, like this isn't matching up. What you're telling us and what is actually the case, it's just something doesn't jive here. Something's wrong. When you hire a new leader of your organization and they don't have experience in running a utility, but they do have experience in selling stuff, that should tell us all something right there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, you know, how big of a secret does this have to be?
It's like hiring Hunter Biden to work for an oil and gas company, you know?
Wow.
Here.
Time to start looking at replacing people who can't make the company work.
Yeah, I would say so. Anyway, I'm glad that people are looking at it. I'm glad the Ethics Commission is looking at it. I think not city level and state level, I believe. So we'll see where all this goes. Kudos to Matt Carlucci. Kudos to also Councilwoman Randy DeFore, who has been very outspoken on keeping track of trying to get people aware of what's happening and some of the issues, problems. And also Councilman Mike Boylan, who is the one who put together this series of workshops that are available not only to council but to the general public, so that one workshop at a time, people can understand what's really happening and what's being talked about. You know, there are people who are trying to do the right thing.
Right.
So we'll see where all of this where all this pans out in the end. Okay. Now, there's been a lot that's happened in the last few days. Obviously, one of the big things going on are the impeachment hearings in Washington, D.C. Unbelievable. And I know people out there listening, you have your own comments and your own observations. You're welcome to call in if you'd like. The number here is 904-831-0600, 904-831-0600. So, I've got Rod Sullivan here in the studio, and we've been talking about, I guess, maybe kind of the Republican heroes that have risen to the top in this process, because it's just, looking at it from a legal standpoint, because you're an attorney, you have practiced law for a long time, you have practiced in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Is what they're doing legal? They seem to be just making stuff up as they go along.
Well, they are. There's no question about it. I think you need to look at this as theater. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they're doing is they're putting together a play,
right,
a show. And so they do these depositions in private, and they it's sort of like a screen test. You know, they bring the witness in private, they ask them questions, and they say, well, how did Ambassador Yovanovitch do in her screen test? And then say, well, you know, she was okay, but maybe if we coach her up a little bit, she'll be even better. So they go ahead and then they write her an opening statement. She doesn't write the opening statement. They write an opening statement and they say, okay, Ambassador, you're on. We're going to prep you first. And then they meet with the attorneys from the committee, and the attorneys run through the questions that are going to be asked ahead of time. So she knows exactly when to, you know, purse her lips or when to appear like she's really upset. And they put on, and so then the play starts. Okay, then they bring her out in front of the television cameras a month later after the depositions, and they ask her. She reads her prearranged statement, which Schiff has written, and then she gets asked the questions, which she's already been asked behind closed doors many times.
Okay,
and she rehearses her emotional responses to it, and then it goes on the air, and people get to see it, and it's sort of like a soap opera. You know, that they canceled one of the major soap operas, but they're now replacing it with a Schiff hearings. And they're just about as orchestrated as that.
As the Schiff turns.
There we go.
That would be a great title for it. Yeah, no more As the World Turns.
That was good.
As the Schiff Turns. And then they go on to the next witness. And of course, they handcuff the other side, the Republicans,
right,
and tell them what they can ask and how long they can take and who they can yield time to and everything else. And so they have this very, very controlled environment in which you hear just one side of a story that's been pre-rehearsed, mm-hmm. one mm-hmm. side of a play. And then they call it a trial. They say, oh, well, we did this in secret because this is a grand jury. Well, there is no such thing as a congressional grand jury.
Show me that in the Constitution.
Well, yeah. I did. I looked to see in the Constitution, and it says a grand jury is composed of ordinary citizens. They're there to prevent the abuses of the prosecutors.
Uh-huh.
Well, what you have here is you have a group of prosecutors getting together and having a meeting and prepping their witnesses. So if you're sitting on the sidelines and you're saying, should I watch this soap opera? Only if, you know, The Price of Right is Right isn't on, or Family Feud or something like that. But if you really enjoy watching a show, a play that's been put together ahead of time, you know, watch the Schiff hearings.
Why not? And, you know, I think most people, because we had talked earlier, you had said, you know, like, you know, I haven't watched the whole thing either. I mean, who wants to go through all this and put themselves through that kind of aggravation? I can understand the aggravation of Jim Jordan and the Republicans that are out there, Stefanik, and all those people who are having this happen to them over and over again. And yet, that's probably also, to a great extent, theater, because, you know, they know it's going to happen. They know it's there. And they just, obviously, they have to play that theater so that the other side will have to show, actually show what they're doing, actually put them down, actually change the rules,
so
everybody can see.
For Congressman Nunes, it's a real question, you know, do the Republicans even bother showing up, lending credibility to this, or do they abandon it altogether?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess the right thing to do is to show up and take your couple of minutes and try to do what you can to set the record straight. But it's, you know, the thing is that they're really fooling the people and the American people. I mean, we're fooling the American people into thinking that this is some kind of trial.
Right.
This is just a show.
Mm-hmm.
This is theater in order to, you know, do whatever they can to sort of start the political campaign for 2020 as early as possible.
Right.
And they're getting a lot of television time and a lot of news time to do it. So I sort of counsel people, you really don't take, go on with your lives. You know, this is not real. If you like watching something that's not real, you know, watch it. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention is last week, the other big story that came up last mm-hmm. week is that Roger Stone got convicted of seven felony counts of obstructing justice. And nobody knows what it's about. You will never find the mainstream media talking, what exactly did Roger Stone do?
Mm-hmm.
What Roger Stone did was arrange for the release of documents that were obtained by WikiLeaks. The documents weren't false. Nothing that they said was untrue,
mm-hmm.
but they were damaging to Hillary Clinton and John Podesta. And so what exactly did these documents say?
Well, how is that? I still don't get why he was convicted. Having them?
No.
You can have them.
He was convicted for things that happened totally. It happened in Schiff's committee a year later. And basically, let's just tell the whole story, okay?
Okay.
WikiLeaks gets all of these documents. Now, the Democrats will tell you that John Podesta's emails were pilfered by Russians.
And okay, yes.
The U.S. Intelligence Committee does not believe that to be the case because they came out on a thumb drive. So if they came out on a thumb drive, it had to be a Russian that was in the DNC. Okay.
How do you say thumb in Russian?
a Russian in the DNC. There's a novel.
Russian in the DMC drive in there and smuggled out Podesta's emails. So somebody on the inside got these emails out, and they got to WikiLeaks. What did the emails say? There was a direct quote from Hillary Clinton, first of all, saying a politician needs to have a public position and a private position, and regarding open borders, I look forward to a hemisphere that has no borders
mm-hmm.
and has free trade across all. I mean, people from Nicaragua should be able to move to Jacksonville and live here if they'd like to. And people from Jacksonville who want to live in Nicaragua should be able to go to Nicaragua. So she said that. She didn't say Nicaragua. She said, I want open
mm-hmm.
borders.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit her. That really hurt her a lot. That was the first thing. The second thing that hurt her was an exchange of emails between two DNC staffers, which were blatantly anti-Catholic. What they said is they wanted to put people from the Democratic Party into the Catholic Church and foment a Catholic Spring, like the Arab Spring, tossing over the Pope, tossing over the bishops, and bringing the Democrat, the Catholic Church over to the Democrat side.
Well, and with the current Pope, you never know. They're standing in the wings waiting. We're up against a hard break. We're going to come back and talk more about what happened to Roger Stone. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Police in Hong Kong have tightened a siege at a university campus as hundreds of anti-government protesters trapped inside seek to escape. For days, protesters have fortified the campus to keep police from getting in. Cornered by authorities, they are now trying to get out. The protesters want to avoid arrest while the police want to pick up as many as they can. Chief Justice John Roberts is ordering an indefinite delay in the House of Representatives' demand for President Trump's financial records to give the Supreme Court time to figure out how to handle the high-stakes dispute. Roberts' order Monday contains no hint about what the court ultimately will do. On Wall Street, the Dow by 31 points to close at 28,036. The NASDAQ rose 9, the S&P 500 advanced 1. And oil down 67 cents to close at $57.05 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good afternoon, I'm Nikki Whaley. A wrong-way driver is apparently to blame for a deadly crash in Alachua County. A couple from Georgia died in the collision this weekend on SR-24 near Gainesville when state troopers say their SUV headed eastbound was hit by a car traveling west. A 30-year-old man and his 31-year-old wife died, and friends of the couple say their 4-year-old son was also killed. The wrong-way driver also died. If you're planning to travel over the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, keep in mind it matters when you're on the road.
No matter what day you drive, I would suggest just leaving early, in the morning preferably. When you're driving through major metro areas, try to avoid driving during the normal rush hour times, because then you're going to have that mix of both travelers and commuters heading into work.
That's AAA's Mark Jenkins. He says that the roads and airports are going to be packed this year. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
You're seeing some delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on Butler Boulevard heading east at Hodges Boulevard. Also, there's a multi-vehicle accident I-10 eastbound at the exit at Chafee Road, and another multi-vehicle crash on the West Beltway on 295 at the southbound ramp to US 17 Roosevelt Boulevard. Partly cloudy tonight, expect the low 48. Tuesday, lots of sunshine, the high 70.
Over the past 2 years, your home has likely increased considerably in value. In fact, depending on where you live and many other factors, your home has probably increased at least 10% in the last 24 months. And many homes are appraising at increases of 25% or more. So, are you insured for the difference? If you haven't requoted your home insurance lately, the answer could be no. Requote your home today with American Integrity's online quote tool. It's fast, stress-free, and completely anonymous. And best of all, it's free. At American Integrity, we're Floridians just like you, so we know that a big storm isn't a matter of if, but when. And we have the financial strength to help you when you need us most. If you've never compared rates on your home insurance, don't wait. There's a chance you might not be insured for the true value of your home. Visit WeProtectJacksonville.com to use our free online quote tool. Get a free quote today at WeProtectJacksonville.com.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
USA, 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 USA.
Okay, we are back, everybody. Welcome back to Battleground News. I'm Karen Morton, your host, Jim Davis, co-host in the studio with us today, Ray Morton from the A-Team and illustrious attorney Rod Sullivan.
Thank you.
We are in the middle of a conversation about what really happened with everything going on with Roger Stone, because obviously he was convicted a few days ago. And but there's way more to the story than what you're going to hear in the media. So okay, you were talking about. Go ahead.
Let's talk about WikiLeaks. Right. So what happened?
They're whistleblowers, right?
They're whistleblowers. All they
and
have
more than that.
They have documents that they illegally obtained from a third party source. The very same day that WikiLeaks dropped a lot of its documents, the New York Times illegally obtained a copy of the 2005 tax return from Donald Trump. And what did they do with it? They released it. So how is the New York Times different than WikiLeaks? Why is New York Times good and WikiLeaks bad?
Good point.
So WikiLeaks has all these documents, and they have an attorney whose name is Margaret Kunstler. Now, you might remember the name William Kunstler, a civil rights attorney who died in 1995. Margaret Kunstler is William Kunstler's wife, and she is a civil rights attorney living in Boston. She's the attorney for Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder.
Okay.
So Julian Assange wants to get on the air on radio stations like yours in the United States. So he goes to Margaret Kunstler, and Margaret Kunstler arranges for him to be on a radio program with a guy called Randy Sidrico. He's a radio talk show host. As a matter of fact, before I knew who the radio talk show host was, I thought it might have been you. Because a conservative radio talk show host in the United States who put Julian Assange on the air.
I would love to put him on the air. I would love to have that interview.
You might be able to do that. Margaret Kunstler still represents him. So anyway, he got on the air with Randy Sidrico, and he said, yeah, I got documents, and they are damaging to Hillary Clinton. And so Sidrico contacts Roger Stone, sends him a text message, says, you wouldn't believe it. Julian Assange has got damaging stuff as to Hillary Clinton, and he's going to release them before the election. And Roger Stone texts either Donald Jr. or Donald Trump and says, big stuff coming out. And he tweets it. He says, October 1st, document dropped from WikiLeaks, Hillary's campaign is over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't actually get dropped on October 1st. They get dropped on October 7th, and they come out with these emails where Hillary says, I want a hemisphere with open borders.
Yeah.
And, of course, Trump drives a truck through that and goes on 145 speaking engagements where he quotes directly from her email saying she wants open borders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's in the anti-Catholic bigotry of the two DNC staffers.
Right.
Okay, so that goes, that's the whole background of the Roger Stone initial investigation. So Donald Trump wins, Hillary loses, and Adam Schiff starts an investigation into the WikiLeaks October document dump. And they call Roger Stone as a witness. And they say, Roger Stone, who is your source? And he says, well, my source is Randy Sidrico. Did you ever text or contact Mr. Sidrico by email or by? No, I was always by phone, or we spoke, in person. And that was so. Anyway, he gives his testimony to the House Intelligence Committee, and the Mueller investigation comes out, and they find out, there are in fact texts and emails between them. Now, he didn't say anything untruthful. He said, this was my source.
Yeah.
My source told me that this document dump was coming down, and I told Trump. So what's the big deal?
What's the problem?
If he had been the New York Times, he'd be up for Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah, exactly.
If it had been Donald Trump that was on the receiving end of the WikiLeaks document dump, he'd be getting awards. He'd be getting, he'd be lauded in the press as a great hero.
Yes.
But it wasn't that way. And that's basically what he got convicted for. It's nothing more serious than that.
Wow.
So he's got 7 felony convictions, 5 of which are for lying to the committee, 1 of which was for obstruction of justice. He told Sidrico to hang tough, that he going to seek if he can get a pardon from Trump. Is that obstruction of justice?
Hang tough.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can help you out.
Yeah,
that's obstruction.
That's what he was convicted of. So
this court was in Washington D.C. Oh, it was in New York.
I'm sorry. No. The trial was in Fort Lauderdale.
Really?
Yeah. So is the Fort Lauderdale
jury.
So
that's New York South.
Well, yeah. I mean, kinda. New York, Fort Lauderdale is a very Democratic county, yeah. and they're picking jurors from Broward County. So it's a very Democrat area.
Right.
But I think everybody, you wonder why the press doesn't ever tell you what Roger Stone did that was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell you because they don't want you to know
exactly
what it was that got dumped. So Stone is free right now. They're doing a pre-sentencing investigation. He will eventually, I think in January, be sentenced to something. And hopefully it won't be too severe, or it won't be more severe than anybody else who's done such minor infractions against against the federal government.
It is incredible to me that that things can get so turned around in today's with everything that we've got, with all the different reporting that's going on, with all of the different news outlets, all of the online, and we still can't get information out, and we still can't affect a fair trial.
Yeah, which sort of brings us to Ambassador Yovanovitch.
Let me hold on for just a second. We'll get to the ambassador in a second.
Absolutely.
We've got a caller. Marty is on the line. Marty, how you doing today?
Fine, and I'm doing finer now that I'm listening to your show.
Good.
I don't know how many people remember this, but you remember Dinesh D'Souza a while ago got in trouble for supposedly campaign financing, like excess or whatever. Mm-hmm. He got arrested. And he was, by the way, he was a one-time boyfriend of Laura Ingraham. But what
really?
I'm looking at is, check it out. Yeah, she went out with him. You can look it up on the on Wikipedia. But anyway,
Rod shaking his head.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
I didn't know that.
I want to let you know that my secret identity is History Boy, and I know stuff that other people don't know. Whatever.
I heard your secret identity was, but okay.
But so what I wanted to say is, and I said this before, with physical assaults, it seems as though the Republicans are punching bags and the other people are the punchers. Now, Donald Trump is like 3 years into his election. We voted for him. We love him. But I don't see anybody from the other side getting hassled. It's just us. Right. And it looks, we would think that we were the losers. And this nonsense about Roger Stone, you remember when he was first arrested? Was it a SWAT team or something that picked him up?
Yeah.
19 officers broke into his house early on a Sunday morning.
As they say in the ghetto, I'm a former retired cop, and you just don't do this. That's maybe if you want to call it a white collar accusation, but they're going, who's controlling these people? And I want to say, if Donald Trump is listening, is what kind of clout does he have? I mean, the way the other side is operating against the good guys, I feel like I was never in Nazi Germany, but I feel that I'm in Nazi Germany right before the war.
It is terrible. You know, the thing is, they wanted to put on a show. They wanted the FBI and the assistant U.S. attorney who was in charge of this wanted to make a splash in the press. So therefore, they broke into his house as if he was a drug dealer at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. They paraded him in front of the press as if he was a hardened criminal, and they put on a show. And that's, quite frankly, with the Roger Stone prosecution, been sort of a recurring pattern. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about what he actually did. Don't tell anybody about what he revealed that was truthful information. Make it about Roger Stone and Donald Trump.
Right.
Go ahead.
Let me just say one final thing, which might be a digression. But recently, the United States, I think, took possession of El Chapo. And I'm looking right now at the inequities in the legal system. He's supposed to be the richest, the most powerful drug man in the world. You remember when John Gotti was convicted and he went to Marion Federal Prison, escape proof, and he was put in solitary confinement and he died of cancer? Let's see if the same treatment is given to El Chapo, who is a million times worse than John Gotti. And this is what I'm saying. There seems to be a problem running the enforcement, that they're picking on the wrong people, and the people who are really bad guys are running around skipping and laughing at the whole system.
Yeah, the world is upside down right now. It really, truly is. Marty, thank you very, very much for your call this afternoon. We appreciate it. Love you being out there.
Thank you.
Take care. Yeah, he's right. I mean, what are you supposed to do about it?
Yeah, well, this is punishing your political enemies and using the criminal justice system
to... It's abuse of power is what it is.
Yeah, it's a huge...
It is an abuse of power, and it's what you'd expect to see in a third world country, or like you said, in an authoritarian regime like the National Socialists under Adolf Hitler.
Right.
You're seeing some of the same tactics being used today against Republicans who are close to Trump. And there's a, you know, there's a willing 30% of the population out there who's saying, yeah, good, I'm glad they're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a willing press who's going to hide the facts from you as to what Roger Stone did or didn't do, and cover up for the forces that are hammering
exactly.
friends of Trump.
Exactly. All right, now we've got another break coming up in about, I don't know, 40 seconds or so, but we have 30 seconds. But we're going to be back for the last segment. If you have any other questions, the number is 904-831-0600. And like I said, this is a very, very interesting day. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Ambassador Yovanovitch and see get Rod's take on that. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Battleground News right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
The Trump Club here in North Florida is extremely important because there are so many people who may have never been involved in politics before, but we are always being contacted by new people saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a Trump Club. What do I do? How do I get involved? Where do you meet? Those kinds of things. The easiest way, if you're on Facebook, is to just go to the Duval Trump Club. We also are on Twitter at Duval Trump Club. We have a lot of events coming up. We have our regular meetings, but we also have a lot of activities that we're planning. Well, some things will be fun, but we're also making our presence very, very well known within the community. Sign waving in different parts of the county, voter registration drives, community events and festivals and things like that, just talking with people to see if they're registered, and if they're not or if they need to change their registration, we'll have the paperwork there to enable them to do that. There's something for everybody, and we would love to have you on board.
Join the Duval Trump Club today. Learn more on Facebook and Twitter at Duval Trump Club.
American Electrical Contracting over on St. Augustine Road is expanding, and they need electricians. They offer top wages along with a benefit plan second to none. Paid holidays, vacation, 401k with match, bonus plan for all employees. A third-year electrician will get about 6 weeks' pay they did not have to work for. That's right, 6 weeks. 3 weeks vacation, 6 paid holidays, 2 weeks pay for bonus. Who does that? American Electrical. That's who. Call 737-7770 or drop by their office on St. Augustine Road.
I'm Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. You know, we've sold fine quality diamonds for a long time and think that's important. If you drew a line with the poorest diamonds with the lowest prices to the left and the highest quality to the right, our diamonds are at the far right end. Once we know the weight, the grading factors of cut, color, and clarity have to be considered. And the one that's talked about the least, but's the most important to us, is the diamond's cut grade, because it has huge implications on both price and beauty, and thus value. I've bought diamonds for Underwoods for over 30 years, so I know what's out there, and the cut grade's not important to most diamond sellers. That's really been the Underwood difference, because beautifully cut diamonds result in the most important thing they can do. They bring a joy of owning and wearing a diamond, not just today, but tomorrow and into the future. That's important to us and should be to you too, because nothing brings more joy than wearing a beautiful diamond from Underwoods. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
The idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
All right, welcome back to Battleground News. I'm Karen Morton, your host, Jim Davis, co-host. We've got in the studio Ray Morton and Rod Sullivan. That statement from President Reagan is so true. We're watching so much of that play out right here in 2019. It is frightening how close we keep getting to truly losing our nation and losing our freedom. And I know you want to get to the ambassador, but I just wanted to mention something. We're talking about the conviction of Roger Stone, and Ray had said, well, you know, the president should pardon him. I think the president should pardon him. I don't even think there's a question. But that brings up some other one other point that we wanted to very briefly discuss, and that is thank you, President Trump, for standing up for our military.
Yes, hear, hear.
And pardoning, he pardoned two military officers and a third one who had been demoted. He ordered that his rank be restored. The pardon for Major Goldstein and Lieutenant Lawrence, huge. These are things that have been dragging on. These men and their families have been put through hell just because, you know, some pansy in the DOD from the Obama administration decided they were going to go after these guys and play some PC game. These guys did nothing wrong. They're soldiers. They're there to fight a war. They are heroes. And finally, President Trump did take action and give those pardons. And another huge win for the president. I mean, the president does a lot of good things day in and day out. You'll see him do okay, well, that was wonderful, and this was wonderful. But every once in a while, he does something huge, and this was huge. As far as the military starting to pay attention to politics, maybe this will get some people off the dime. Because, you know, when you're in the military, especially if you're in for a career, you get this drummed into you that, you know, you can't participate in politics. It's against the rules. You cannot do it. And so when they get out and they retire, they still shy away from politics. I don't want to deal with it. I don't understand it, whatever. And yet, I don't know how you can be in the military for 20 plus years and not understand politics, because the internal politics is brutal. So, but maybe this will make our veterans stand up and take a look and go, well, wait a second here. Maybe I need to pay attention. This guy actually stood up for our troops. And to me, that's just humongous. And I know Ray, you were you helped out with the Clint Lawrence issue. You had been in contact with a lot of people trying to get things done. And
yeah, over a year ago, I contacted DeSantis, Yoho, and Rutherford, amongst others, to petition the president to pardon him.
Right, and he's been at it for a while. So,
and all Lieutenant Lawrence was doing was strictly following rules of engagement.
Yep.
And for that, he was court-martialed.
Yep. Like, well, I said,
because some pansy didn't like it.
That's because some pansy.
Can you say pansy?
Obama?
On the radio?
Yes, you can. We just did several times.
You know, 10 years ago, I taught at Florida Coastal School of Law as a constitutional law professor. And one of the adjuncts who I was responsible for reviewing was a guy named Ron DeSantis.
And really?
Ron DeSantis taught a course on, in fact, rules of engagement and prosecution of crimes of this nature and how to engage the enemy. And his class was one of the best classes I ever reviewed. And I, you know, even when I saw him back then 10 years ago, I said, this guy's going someplace. I don't know where he's going, but he's a really smart guy. And I'm glad to hear that my, you know, analysis of him was that good and was that on point, because he really is a smart guy.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, that's for sure. And we're blessed to have him as governor. He's doing a great job in the state of Florida. He's got approval ratings that are unheard of in Florida and shocking. You know, when you look at the you know, Democrats really, or the liberal side of the state, you basically it takes up 50% of the voting public, and yet his approval ratings have been in the 70s. It's just incredible. But he's doing good things. He's doing very, very good things. And
well, I don't want to jump the gun, but I'm hoping someday we'll see him on the national stage as well.
Well, you might. I think that I've seen a couple of test balloons up there already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz, I think, put something out about that.
I could think of a senator I'd want him to replace.
Yeah. We're going to be working on that one.
Yeah,
we got a
50-50 chance of guessing that one, right?
Yeah. Let me give that some thought. Little guy, right?
Well, that sort of narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yeah, there we go. I'll tell you, folks,
small hands.
You know, everybody in this room, everybody here in the studio today, we are Republican. We don't make any bones about it. We are, But I tell you, one of the good things about no longer being the chairman of the Republican Party around here is that I can say what I want to say. And yeah, we got to make some changes in the Republican Party, period. End of discussion. So, okay, now we've got a few minutes left, and you want to talk about Ambassador Yovanovitch.
Yeah, all I would say about Ambassador Yovanovitch is she was well coached to play the pure, demure, you know, public servant who would never bring her own policy choices to her job as a U.S. ambassador. She was an Obama appointee to the ambassadorship in Ukraine, which is not necessarily disqualifying in one way or another. But when you see what she did in that position, you realize that she was not nonpartisan.
Yes.
She had a role in releasing documents that resulted in the conviction of Manafort, Paul Manafort, for something he did 10 years before he came on to the Trump campaign. And it turned out that the documents that she worked behind the scenes to get released to the press were, in fact, fraudulent. Now, I don't know that she knew that they were fraudulent. The U.S. attorney never used those documents, but Manafort was convicted of tax evasion. Mm-hmm. Basically, he got paid by the government in Ukraine to do work for them on oil and gas leases again.
Whoa!
And I wonder if Hunter Biden paid his taxes.
I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
But he basically was involved in the same industry that John Kerry's sons were involved in, that Hunter Biden was involved in, and basically he was taking in money and not declaring 100% of it as his part of his income. And Yovanovitch had a hand in seeing that this happened, and that was when he was part of the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
And then she went on and started pursuing her own policy initiatives by declining to allow witnesses from the Ukraine to have visas to go to the United States to testify about potential abuses by the Obama administration and Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes.
And then there was the tamping down of information about the Clinton Foundation. So then there was also the support of gay rights in Ukraine. Now, you can support gay rights and be in the State Department, but the Ukraine is a place where 85% of the people are against granting homosexuals the right to marry.
Mm-hmm.
She organized a march down the streets of Kiev with about 8,000 people involved, a lot of them members of the U.S. Embassy, even though she knew that this was not going to be good for American foreign policy in this country.
Wow.
In other words, if you're pro-gay in the Ukraine, you have to be anti-U.S. I mean, people in the Ukraine like Putin's position as on gay rights and dislike the Obama position.
Right.
But here she is under the Trump administration following her own sort of foreign policy on this issue, marching the gay pride parade. There were a lot of things that she did that showed that, in fact, she was a partisan.
Yes. So she's not just she's not this poor innocent that got sucked in at the last minute. This woman has been at this for years.
And then Zelensky
is calling herself a victim.
Yeah, calling herself a victim. I would never do anything that was not in accordance with President Trump's direction. Mm-hmm. And then you have Mr. Zelensky, who is the legally elected president of Ukraine, who says she won't deal with me. She's working against me behind the scenes. How is that good for a U.S. ambassador to do those things behind the scenes?
Exactly.
So she goes and testifies before the House committee, and Trump tweets and says, you were a disaster in Somalia. You were a disaster in Armenia. You were bad in Ukraine. And then Adam Schiff says, well, how does that make you feel? Oh, I feel intimidated. Well, if you are such a snowflake that you are intimidated by a tweet that says that you didn't do a good job before, you need to get a backbone.
Exactly. Obviously, she had a little bit of a backbone when she was pulling this other nonsense over there. So, yeah, it's a huge tangled web, and I probably haven't even scratched the surface. There's more to come, I am certain. And I'm hoping some of these investigations going on, these criminal investigations through the FBI,
Bob Barr is working on.
Yeah, we'll bring some things, you know, more things to light. We've got 30 seconds left, folks. I wanted to let you know we're going through some programming issues and everything for the show, and we're hoping eventually to expand into more hours. But for right now, for the month of November, we are not broadcasting on Friday. We're broadcasting only on Monday. So I think on Friday you'll probably hear Sebastian Gorka again. But on Monday, tune back in at 5 o'clock. We will be right here with Battleground News. We've got a lot going on, and we've got a lot to talk about.